Now live from Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Day four of our live coverage from the Phoenix Convention Center. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Radio Row, Super Bowl 49 upcoming. Look who came to town, Tony. The lovely Miss Lauren Brooks is here. Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Hi, gentlemen. I'm great. Thanks.
Oh,
how are you?
We're so happy to see you, Lauren Brooks.
I'm so happy to be here.
We've had fun. We've done our best to have fun without you, but we're going to have a lot more fun now that you're here.
I can't wait. You know, we tried to have a little fun last night. The light rail system worked a little bit against us, but
we still
found a good, nice little bar and
we got
a couple of nightcaps.
We got off the light rail downtown, and as we did, the police were saying, "Hey, have a good night." And we're like, "What do you mean, have a good night?
We're on our way out.
We got here. All right, we're just starting this whole thing." So today, got a lot of great guests coming up. In fact, in about 2 minutes, Hall of Famer Michael Haynes is going to sit down with us. Frank Caliendo, master of the impression, particularly in the sports world. He is, I say it every year, Tony, if I could have one guest, I'd want to have Frank because he's 20 guests in one.
Yes, he is.
Or more. Who knows how many he'll get to throughout the course of the day. We'll talk with Pete Prisco about the latest development with the Jacksonville Jaguars and thoughts on Super Bowl 49 coming up. We'll hear from Jaguar offensive coordinator Greg Olsen today. Blake Bortles, we sat down and interviewed him yesterday here.
A fresh Blake Bortles.
He was fresh and relaxed and ready to go, I think, as far as, you know, just recharging his batteries a little bit. Also, I don't know what we'll get to today. We had a conversation with the heavyweight champion of the world yesterday, Deontay Wilder. Very entertaining guy.
He was.
If you don't hear him on this morning show, you'll hear him on tomorrow morning show. We're actually doing 4 hours tomorrow morning from 10 until 2 in the afternoon. So you know, at some point in time, we'll hear from him. Packer Hall of Famer Dave Robinson. A lot more that we've got scheduled for the course of the afternoon that we'll be bringing you tomorrow. And, of course, Frank and Rick will be along this afternoon as well. But, you know, it's right now I would say if there's one guy I can count on seeing on Radio Row every year over the last 4, 5, 6 years is Michael Haynes, the Hall of Fame defensive back for both the Patriots and the Raiders, and he sits down across from us right now. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks for having me on again. And you're right. This is where we see each other every year.
You're the one guy. I mean, a lot of guys wear the Hall of Fame ring. You always wear the jacket, and so you're the easiest guy. You're a distinguished-looking gentleman anyway, but you've got the gold blazer on. You look very sharp, and I know you're very proud to show that off.
Always, and I'm trying to endorse the other guys wearing it as well. You know, when they're walking around here, they don't stand out. Just they're in the room. People don't know it. So I'm going to make sure that next year that the room is full of gold jackets.
That's a good idea. It'd be a good look because there's different, you know, classes. You got the Super Bowl champs, you got the Hall of Famers, you got the double
That's
guys,
right.
And so you got the ring and the jacket.
Right.
Not
there
everybody has that.
Thank you, Mike, for noticing.
No, if it was me, I would never take the jacket off. That's me personally. I know you went to Arizona State. Do you call this area home or?
San Diego, but this is my second home for sure.
Okay, I got you. Now, you had the experience of playing in the Super Bowl, beat the Washington Redskins, had the interception in that game.
Joe Theismann just walked by.
Oh, did you give him a hard time?
Oh, he said, Mike, he says, let me throw you another interception real quick.
No, that's pretty cool. Just the experience of being out here and being at another Super Bowl, another venue here in Arizona. How has the experience been this week?
It's been good. I mean, you know, being here in Phoenix, the one thing you can count on usually is a lot of sunshine. I think the way that they have everything, you know, down here is a little bit different than, like, say, New York. But I'm enjoying it. I think it's great. I'm looking forward to the weekend because I think more and more people are coming in. It's so close to Las Vegas and San Diego and L.A. that a lot of people go there and then come over here just for the game. So I think towards the weekend it's going to be a little different.
Yeah, no question about it. And, Mike, as often as we see you, it feels like we see the Patriots just about that often at this time of year. And obviously the Seahawks the last couple of seasons. But being a former Patriot, I would assume you've got that rooting interest and pulling for them in this game, right?
Let me just say this. They retired my jersey. They put me in their Hall of Fame. They invite me to as many events as they can, you know, that they'd like to see me there and to be with the fans and things. I would be biting the hand that feeds me, you know. But I love what they do. I love Robert Kraft. I love Belichick. I love Tom Brady. I love Patriot fans. You know, I love football fans, really, to be honest with you. But I really like the teams that seem to be on top all the time, and because I know how hard it is to do that.
How do you think they match up? We'll start with their offense versus Seattle's defense, because that seems to be where most people are putting the focus. Seattle, over the last couple of years, putting it together a pretty impressive resume against the all-time great defenses. But the Patriots right now look like they're playing their best football.
And I think the Seattle Seahawks defense is getting a lot of interest from fans, and you know they're the ones that it seems like they're carrying the load for the team. And I think that's right. I think it's really the same on the Patriots. Everybody, you know, I always say, you know me, it's the defense that wins games. No matter what it looks like on the scoreboard, it's the defense that won that game. They stopped the other team from scoring one more score or two more scores to, and so I think this game will be no different. I think the team that has the best defense is going to win. And the public is thinking the Seattle Seahawks have the best defense. I don't know. You guys probably know statistically who is the best defense.
Statistically, they probably are a better defense than the Patriots. But the Patriots have plenty of firepower on that side of the football as well. And you look at Seattle, Richard Sherman, you know, the report is torn ligaments in the elbow. I know he's been practicing and he's going to go, but he can't be 100%. And same with Earl Thomas with the shoulder. So you got to wonder how much, you know, how all it takes in a game that's seemingly this close going into it could be something as small as that that tips the balance.
And that's what I'm looking at. I feel like with those injuries, that might even out the defense. They're, you know, they're going in even. As a result of that, those injuries, I think that the Patriots will probably be running a lot. If Gronkowski, they'll put him on that side where those guys have to be on, you know, he's going to be over there where those guys are. And in the game, I believe the game will be won in the fourth quarter. I think on offense, you'll see on both sides of the ball a lot of crossing routes because both teams have great secondaries. And, you know, the ball up the field is pretty easy to cover, you know, I think. But the crossing routes are really tough. I know from my standpoint that that is the toughest route. You're going across the field, and the wide receiver goes underneath the linebacker and, you know, uses that linebacker as kind of a pick, and the defensive back has to run around. You throw the ball, now you got a lot of green grass in front of you to run. So I think you're going to see a lot of those kind of passes, a lot of quick passes, make the guys come up, you know, make these tackles, miss a couple of tackles. So I think it's going to be a fun game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I predict it's going to be a one-touchdown game.
Michael Haynes joining us here on Radio Row. You played the position at a championship level, at a Hall of Fame level. So who's the best cornerback in the game right now? We have Darrell Revis Sherman going head-to-head this weekend. Also, Patrick Peterson, obviously, here in Arizona. Who's the best?
I have no idea. I think only time is going to tell. Really, I can just tell you that they are all three really good. I've got a chance to meet Patrick Peterson yesterday and Darrell Revis earlier this year when the Patriots played the Chargers down in San Diego. Got a chance to meet him. And 2 years ago, got a chance to spend some time with Richard Sherman. And believe it or not, I go up to Seattle every year. They have a charitable golf tournament up there that Pete Carroll has, the Seahawks have. And I go up there. I endorse what they're doing in the community. I like all these guys. I like both teams and everything. So for me, it's just a great opportunity to watch a great game. When I was playing on the Raiders, it would be like Richard Sherman and Darrell Revis on the same team with Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes.
Right.
You know? Two of the best corners on the same team. We don't have that yet. That hasn't happened yet, but something like that is going to happen at some point by some team. The Patriots always seem to find a great corner to be there, and I think that elevates the play of everybody else. Everybody gets to see what he does, what makes him so special, how hard he works, the kind of questions he asks, and I think that makes everybody else better.
Tell us about Tom Brady's legacy. If he wins this game, you don't have to win a Super Bowl to be great. Dan Marino's a great quarterback, never won a Super Bowl. But Tom Brady could win his fourth, and he'll have gotten to six. Resume-wise, it will stack up with anyone. Where does he rank to you just in terms of being the best quarterback that ever played?
Already, if he wins this game or not, I think he's the best quarterback of all time. That's how he ranks in my mind. There might be other guys you might say, if you had to go to battle and you only get to pick one quarterback, maybe there's a lot of other quarterbacks you would take. But if you just look at what he's done, his resume, I'd say he's the best quarterback of all time, win or lose tomorrow, this weekend.
And Russell Wilson is maybe having the best start to a career of that.
Yeah.
If he wins this game, two championships potentially in the first 3 years in the league.
Yeah, and they've done it a different way. Most of the other great quarterbacks are basically drop-back guys. You know, they're not running out of the pocket, and they're not running up for 50, 60 yards on you know, one or two times a game. It's a different type of dynamic.
No, it definitely is. For you, when you look back on your career, I know we had the opportunity to talk to a couple Hall of Famers already this week, but just that moment where you realize you're going to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame, can you talk a little bit about that phone call that day for you?
Yeah, I just, I'm glad you asked me that. Tim Brown just walked by a few minutes ago, and I said, hey, Tim, I hope this is the week that it happens. Because, you know, when your name comes up, you think, this is it. I'm going to get the phone call, and you don't get it. But it's eventually it does come, and there's nothing like it. So if you had to, if you're a first time, ballot guy or an eighth time ballot guy, the impact is the same. It's a great accomplishment. I think it means a lot to the guys that played with him and the organization that brought him in to play for them. It means so much to a lot of people, but there is nothing like it. Just to, you know, elevated your status as a player in the minds of football fans everywhere, and you know, have an opportunity to do something special that you might not have had a chance if you had not received that gold jacket.
Well, in addition to sharing your stories about your career and your thoughts on the Super Bowl, you're here on behalf of an organization called Know Your Stats, talking about prostate cancer awareness. Tell us a few of the details of what you want, the message you want to get out to people.
Well, the message is, I just want men to understand their risk. Everybody has an individual risk. All men do. And most men don't know anything about prostate cancer or their risk, and we're trying to change that. Prostate cancer is a cancer, if it's caught early, is treatable. There's a 99.999% chance you're going to be totally fine if you catch it early. But most men, you got to know that. So I found out by luck. I did not know it ran in my family. I did not know my grandfather died of prostate cancer, which meant that I was a higher risk. Now I'm a 1 in 3 guy. I'm a good chance I'm going to get it. And I don't want other men to find out that way. I want them to be smart about it, start having the conversations with their doctor about it. And I'm trying to encourage men like myself who have the disease or have had the disease to talk to other guys about it. 1 in 6 men will be, well, now it's 1 in 7, so our work is working. You know, all these interviews we've been doing, people are listening. They're getting the message. And now it was 1 in 6 when we started. Now it's 1 in 7. But still, there's 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer, and there's more men that know more about women and breast cancer than men that know anything about prostate cancer. Most men don't know where the prostate gland is, what it does, or any symptoms. And we need to change that, because if you catch it early, it's treatable, and you're going to be totally fine. You're going to live a nice life. But if you don't, it's a different fight. So our whole campaign is about knowing your own personal risk, encouraging guys to talk to their doctor. We used to just talk about men. I actually talk to women, too, because it might be a woman that really is the one that got you in there, because she wants you around to you know, help her with the kids or the grandkids or whatever. And the guys are like, I don't need to do that. I talked to a lot of guys said, I'd rather be dead. I said, you got to be kidding me. You'd rather be dead than be with your family? And you'd rather be dead because you don't want to take a simple little blood test and have a doctor stick a finger in your body in a weird place for maybe about 8 seconds? You'd rather be dead than that? And you're not going to get any sympathy from a woman who has people poking around on her forever and ever and ever. So if you need a little help getting to the doctor, you know, I figure that if I can recruit the women, it's a better chance that we're going to help save a lot of guys' lives.
You can find out more by going to the Facebook page, facebook.com/knowyourstats. You can use the hashtag KnowYourStats on Twitter and tweet at KnowYourStats as well for more information on that. Michael Haynes, NFL Hall of Famer and cancer survivor. Always good to see you. Let's see
Likewise,
you for many
Mike.
More
Thank
years,
you.
Okay?
Tony. Yep.
We'll see you hopefully in Santa Clara next year.
Oh, that's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, well, Super Bowl 50, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's going to blow the roof off it, man. Michael, good to see you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much. Michael Haynes here with us on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Just getting started this morning. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Frank Caliendo from ESPN, master impersonator, impressionist. I don't know what the proper term is there, Tony.
I don't know.
He does
them well.
He does impressions of people,
yes.
And he's the top guy in the field as far as that goes, and he's always entertaining. He'll sit down with us coming up here live in just a couple of minutes. St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, our primary benefactor in terms of our travel and everything, the costs associated with covering Super Bowl 49 out here in Phoenix, Arizona. We encourage you to like their Facebook page at St. John the Divine Jacks on Facebook. And as well, check out jacksgreekfest.com. They've got the Greek festival that they're putting on in April at the fairgrounds. Tons of activities. great fun, music, culture, food, you name it, they're going to have it going on. And every new like on their Facebook page this week is going to raise more money for Wilson's Children's Hospital, and we'll write them a big check at the end of the week thanks to the parishioners of St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church. Again, coming up today, Blake Bortles sat down with us yesterday. You may have heard that interview on Frank Franchi's show yesterday afternoon, but if not, you're going to hear it coming up later on Hours. Tony and I had a conversation with the Jaguar quarterback getting ready for, as I call it right now, Camp Blake. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that goes out in San Diego. Greg Olson, offense coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars, we'll hear from him. Pete Prisco going to swing by today, give his thoughts on the offseason of change so far for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Super Bowl 49 coming up, and a lot more as we kick off day four of coverage. We kicked it off with the Hall of Famer Michael Haynes. We'll be back in a few minutes with Frank Caliendo from ESPN, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Lauren Brooks on the scene in Phoenix, Arizona. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
The flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today, live from Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona, is brought to you by St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, proud supporter of Wolfson Children's Hospital on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, glad you're with us. Just getting started really here on day four of our coverage live from Phoenix, Arizona. I hope we brought enough lollipops for the week, Tony, because Frank Caliendo apparently has a sweet tooth. And I think I remember that about him, actually. I think only rivaled by Emmett Smith.
You know what? It's actually more that my throat is is raw at
this right?
point. Yeah,
what?
So, yeah, trying to...
I got you covered, man.
What do you got?
Yeah, I got the
you got
cherry
some
Ludens right
I'll
there.
Tell you what, man. I don't care who you are. Cherry Ludens will make your throat better. One of those guys... What was the cough drop guys? Remember the brothers?
The
Smith brothers, man. Whatever happened to the Smith brothers? I go Luden every time. Luden for Gruden, man. I think
nice.
We just figured out a new sponsorship.
I think you did.
I talk all day long to Mike Tirico, and I tell you what, John Gruden, when he gets a sore throat, he loves Ludens.
Gruden for Ludens. Has critical mass been reached? Is he more popular than John Madden now, or rivaling John Madden?
I think it's way up there. I mean, maybe not for the casual, for the non-football fan, but I
right.
think for football fans. Gruden actually had me up in the booth the other day at the Pro Bowl during the second quarter. He was like, he invited, and everybody thought he was mad at me. I'm like, no, he invited me up there.
they thought you were kind of bursting in and
being called to the principal's office.
Yeah, so it was fun. And
we should have stayed home and watched it. We went to the game. The game's not exactly.
Yeah, you know what? I was there too, and I brought my son. I think my son actually made a really great point, and this was his point. He's like, I wanted to see J.J. Watt play offense. You know what? That's a great point. Have them do stuff they normally wouldn't do, all of them.
Right.
Like, have the defensive guys play some offense, have offensive guys play some defense. Just go
and
completely
like
the other
Watt
way.
Watt can't do it. We know he can do
right,
it.
Right, but other guys, too.
Sure.
Have some linemen go out and try and catch passes. It'll be fun.
it would be fun for us, but they're already playing kind of touch football out there.
But exactly. So if they're going to play touch football, let them play and see. They're not able to show stuff at their fullest abilities, right? So let's go see him have fun.
Yeah, the first linebacker who blows his knee out on a dig pattern, it's over.
They're not going to run it that hard anyways.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But it's stuff they all, you know what, they would try a little bit harder because they want to show that they can do stuff that they normally don't get to do.
True.
I thought it was a great point.
That was a great point. Your kid should be, I don't know, what should he be?
John Gruden the III.
Pro Bowl Commissioner.
Pro Bowl Commissioner. That's a great... I like that appointment.
What does he think about... Does he think you have the coolest job in the world, or what?
Yeah, you know, my son is so spoiled in the sports world in the last week or so, 2 weeks, because LeBron James had us come down and talk with him in the locker room after the game because of the LeBron letter that I did a while back reading his...
Yeah.
And then a week later, during that week, I actually did a show in Milwaukee, and J.J. Watt has a place because he's from Wisconsin, just a few miles. He grew up 15 miles away from me. He came out to the show. I told him how big of a fan my son was. He's like, oh, bring him out. So we went out to the Biltmore here in Arizona, and J.J. Watt spent a half an hour with my son. I'm like, all I need is Mike Trout now, man. All I need is Mike Trout to perfect the perfect trifecta. Something like that, man. You can tell I've been on Radio Row for a while. It's George Bush. I can't even think of the stuff I want to say. I got to do today I have to do the Terry Bradshaw roast at about, leaving here at like 10:30. So there's a lot of people involved in that. And if there's ever been a canvas that's been easy to paint.
Roasting Mr. Bradshaw.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. And originally Larry King was supposed to be there, but apparently I didn't know he was still alive, first of all. But apparently he's too tired.
Just can't make it. I got a nap.
Yeah, so.
Bradshaw, we've talked about this before. Are you cool with Bradshaw? I mean, because obviously.
He's the dumb one.
It's going right over his head. He doesn't even know you're doing him, right?
Yeah, that's like some of the jokes I'm going to do about, like, what's Terry Bradshaw thinking? They're like, put the camera over on Terry. I'm like, I wonder if these jokes are going to be about me this whole time.
That's a Terry Bradshaw roast.
Like, what's another one I was thinking of? I hope they don't notice that I'm bald. I wonder if Howie's going to give me one of his famous back rubs tonight.
What about the guys on ESPN now? Anybody that has said, hey, you've taken it a little too far from time to time?
No, I think everybody's having fun with it.
Yeah.
I think they see it as being put on a pedestal instead of knocked off of it. I mean, I think people, before I do it, they get a little weirded out about it. But, like, and sometimes they just become so cartoonish, they're not even the person anymore. Like, my Chris Berman is getting so far from Chris Berman, it's just becoming Morse code. I don't even he's Beaker from The Muppets. So, I mean, to me, it's just about making people laugh. It's not even trying to be right on the money.
But if they did want you to back off, would that make you go harder at them? Or I mean,
ESPN's pretty conscientious about that stuff.
Yeah.
At Fox, they would tell me to just go harder at somebody.
Right.
At ESPN, they never told me not to do anything or knock it down. They'll edit some things out that they think might be inappropriate or whatever for the person, but.
It's that Disney influence, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's a news organization, too. That's what they look at themselves as. And if for some reason, I'm the only one who really gets to make fun of it. I mean, you look at all the other people at ESPN, they don't really make fun of, like, a lot of their properties and stuff like that.
Right.
Their segments. And that's all I do, is I just kind of break the fourth wall of a lot of their marketing and stuff. So,
who else out there does impressions? Like, I mean, to me, if you ask, you're the only one I know.
See, there's a lot. Some reason, I've just been good at the marketing. There's a guy named Elon Gold that's really great. I think he lives in L.A. now, but there's plenty of people that do great impressions. But for some reason, I think the sports thing is what's really been me, that niche of me being in sports so much.
Madden took it over the top, right?
I mean, Madden was the first big one, and then. You know, once I got the Fox Sunday gig, that's like 12, 13 years ago now.
Yeah.
So once it got known for doing that, it's like people who didn't watch football thought I just did John Madden every week. They didn't even know what I did. Like, no, there's probably like one or two a year. It's not just John Madden every week, but, you know, that just tells you. People don't know anything anymore. It's so weird. Like, you're just looking, like, unless you're Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt, you can see somebody who's like a movie star walking down. They'll be like, oh, isn't that guy from The Thing? And they don't even know. So
that's how we are walking around here. We're doing that this morning. We're like,
we're drive-by-ing on name tags.
He looks like an athlete. Let me go slow, and I'm not really looking at your chest, buddy. I'm just trying to read your name tag.
Right,
that's
exactly.
All I'm trying to do.
It's hard to – you just don't know.
You got you do Bush phenomenally well.
Yeah, I do.
How's your Obama?
It's pretty good. It's not as good as the George W., but it's fine. The thing about him is he talks slow at the beginning and speeds up at the end.
It's all you got to find the little in, right?
To me, it's the take. It's all the take on what what makes the person, either their speech pattern or what, you know, Clinton's easy because you just talk about the cheerleaders. That is awesome. You know, George.
And it helps to hold the thumb out, right?
Too. You bet it does. That's a trained, you know, that's a trained mannerism. People, they train that because it's not offensive to anybody, and it's welcoming, I guess.
Here's my baby thumb.
But it's, yeah, it's like, that's, they teach that. That's like this, if you point your hand out, it's too abrasive. Put hands up, you're scared. So they teach the thumb, one hand, thumb, like you're, let's see, what would that be, like pressing on a...
clicking at a joystick or something.
Yeah, it's an old school race track with the cord going back to it.
Yes,
you know, that,
yes.
All, that was just to make it go and stop.
That's all you did. That was the entirety of it. You're in L.A. tonight, right? You're going from...
Yeah, to fly to L.A. tonight to a show there.
How busy are you this whole week?
Crazed.
Yeah?
Utterly crazed. I was in Tuesday morning, I took the red eye. It was actually 1 in the morning. I flew to Miami and did a show in Florida. And then I flew back Wednesday morning. I got here yesterday at 10:30. I did this kind of press stuff all day. And then until 8 o'clock at night. And then today I started here at 6 o'clock this morning. And then I'll go till 10:30. Then I got to do the roast of Bradshaw. And then I got to fly to L.A., and then I'll be back here probably like 7 a.m. tomorrow, 8 a.m. tomorrow for a little bit.
Then
I got to do SportsCenter. They got me like as a big part of the 6 o'clock SportsCenter tomorrow afternoon. And then my Super Bowl segment's shot. It's going to air on the side of good. No, it's going to air. What time? You guys are East Coast time?
Yes.
It'll air around 11:30 East Coast time. On ESPN, so.
Which is always epic. We love.
It's going to be. I think it's going to be pretty good. I haven't seen it yet, but it's like the 30 for 30 I did last year, where it's a mockumentary and it's so serious, it's ridiculous.
Do you do Marshawn Lynch? You wouldn't have to say.
Thank
much.
You for asking me that.
You're welcome.
No. But I'll show you something. This is one of my friends did something. I don't want you to talk about it on the air yet. I just want to know what your reaction is to it.
So you want me to see what's on your
I want
phone.
You to see what's on this phone and tell me if it would make you in any way, shape, or form want to watch what this sketch is.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready. It's yes.
It's pretty good,
right.
Isn't it?
It's very
it's a
good.
Dead-on impression.
Yes.
It's really, really
That's
good.
That's Richard Sherman. It's
You weren't supposed to say anything.
I'm sorry. I mean, that's Byron Maxwell, Seattle Seahawks. I wasn't supposed to say anything, but I...
That's all right. I just don't...
You were making that up. I didn't mean that. I was Darrell Revis. Come on.
No, but it's a pretty great impression, the guy did.
So now our audience only knows the scoop.
It's gonna no, ruin other people have been as dumb
yeah,
as you.
Exactly.
I'm roasting already.
That was Bradshaw.
No, it's but his name's Dean Edwards. He was on Saturday Night Live for a little while, but he did a great job. Ari Spears is going to be in it, too. I think we're going to have, like, 12 to 13 different characters. I do Lou Holtz
in it. Ari Spears is an SNL guy, right?
No, Matt TV.
Oh, was he Mad TV?
Yeah,
okay,
Harris
yeah, okay.
was over Mad TV, so it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. I think they're gonna. They put together. Wait, I have a real feature producer. His name's Zach Budman, and he puts together the actual features at ESPN. So when you see one of those super serious things, we shot this like it was super serious. We got Tom Rinaldi voicing it over, so you're gonna want to cry. I think it'll be a blast.
Did you write the essay for Tom, or did he write it himself?
I wrote it and said, you know what, do however you want to Rinaldi it up. So okay. I said, this is, I go, but go 10 times yourself. You know, it's, I want it to be ridiculous. At one point, we it's about Bill Belichick, and at one point we call him a super duper mega quadruple genius. I think it's going to end up being pretty good.
Now, like, when you get something like Don Shula bringing up the Belichick thing, does ESPN want you to back off on that kind of stuff?
Or they let me do whatever I want on that. But, I mean, I'm so tired of the Deflategate thing. Like, people are asking me, is that what your Super Bowl segment? No, I don't want it to be. Everybody's done all that
right.
stuff. I saw Saturday Night Live on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they did... If you're a non-sports fan, I think you could say that's okay, that's good. If you're a sports fan, you're going, well, that was on Twitter, that was on Twitter, that was on... There's nothing I saw in there the whole Colonel Jessup rant that they did.
Right.
Like, I saw that 100 times on Twitter 2 days before. So I don't even want to touch stuff like that. And then Saturday Night Live does it on TV, and now it's like everything's been done. It's just the easy, you know, balls jokes. And it is funny to watch Bill Belichick trying footballs.
Footballs. Yeah.
But that's the way around it, is you just say
Bill
footballs
say
every time. Say that again?
How would Bill Belichick say it? See, you're getting off too easy now. Belichick, all you got to do is mumble. Berman's
mumble and subtitles.
Code.
Yeah.
And now
I'm trying. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make my job. I work smarter, not harder.
What are you working on? Anybody new?
There's always a bunch, but I don't know if there's. In the Super Bowl sketch, there's a new one that nobody's seen because I hadn't done the makeup before.
Don't tell me, because obviously everyone will know it.
No, Lou Holtz.
Oh, okay.
Lou Holtz is going to
be. Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah. The Lou Holtz, I was more than happy with the way the makeup turned out for Lou Holtz. I honestly could not believe it. See if I can pull it up and show you.
All right, let's. Oh my!
I don't know if the impression's fantastic, but that's
I gotta be honest with you. It's pretty good.
Like
you gotta understand. That's what we're talking about. Mark May doesn't know a single thing. He's been sitting over across from me for over a year. I don't understand what he's even talking about. It doesn't make sense.
I'm telling you, if somebody tunes in and while you're doing that, they're going to think it's Lou Holtz.
It's a little Joe Gibbsy, too.
That is, right. But that's pretty much a dead ringer right there. Well, get on with your busy day, man. You know we
love
talking
to you. Yeah, good to see you.
At
Frank Caliendo, I'm going to steal a couple of these
Gruden. Give me a little dueling Gruden Madden on your way out the
door. I'll tell you what, man. Let's talk about FrankCaliendo.com. He hasn't done enough plugging. FrankCaliendo.com, at Frank Caliendo on Twitter. If you can't spell Caliendo,
it's the letter C, the word alien, and the word do. Frank C, alien, do, and boom.
The end. Frank Caliendo. Great to see you, brother.
Awesome, man.
The most
Thanks.
Chill guy on Radio Row every year. Good to see you and all your 20 friends that you bring with you. We'll look for you this Sunday at 11:30 on ESPN and
Very
check
cool.
him out at FrankCaliendo.com on Twitter, as he said, at Frank Caliendo. See alien do is the way to do it. There he goes with a handful of Ludens in his pocket. We'll come back. We're going to hear from Greg Olsen, Jaguar offensive coordinator, opening up yesterday a little bit about his thoughts on the job working with Blake Bortles and how it all came together that he's back in the fold with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks here with you live at the Phoenix Convention Center. Thanks to Frank Caliendo for stopping by here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today, live from Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona, is brought to you by St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, proud supporter of Wolfson Children's Hospital, on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks, live from Radio Row in Phoenix. Let me give you your breathless Blake Bortles update. Tony, Blake is eating breakfast. He's standing. He's eating breakfast right now. It looks like some kind of pastry, a breakfast pastry. And there you have it, at the moment, live in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll hear from Blake coming up in the second hour of the show today. What time are we going to hear from Blake? About 9:35, I think, right? 11:35.
Yeah, 11:35.
For all you people who listen to Jaguars Today via the internet,
get your clock
in the mountain
out.
Time.
Where's
so,
your clock,
that's a good
sir?
Point. I'm going to get my clock out right now, and I will be able to refer to the proper time, Tony. I am properly chastised. Delaney Walker, I have to ask Delaney Walker about his, comments last year after the Jags beat the Tennessee Titans. And, hey, bro, you may not realize you're picking ahead of us, all right? We may not be the best franchise in the National Football League, but you're picking ahead of us this year. But Delaney Walker, Titans tight end, will sit down with us coming up at 11:15.
11:15,
not
9:15,
yes. At 11:15. Now I put us on West Coast time. So coming up at 8:15. Later on today. I got you there. Now we're good. We're squared away. In a moment, we're going to hear from Greg Olsen, Jaguars' new offensive coordinator. Thanks to Frank Caliendo and Michael Haynes, the Hall of Famer, for joining us already on the show today. Let me tell you about Golf Tech. If this is the year you want to play your best golf ever, I know the people that can help you. That is my friends at Golf Tech. Nico is the main man there. Call 998-4650 and ask about the Golf Tech training camp promotion. It's 3 months of dedicated honed practice skills specific to your swing. You go in, they diagnose your swing. You're going to get lessons that build upon one another. So you're going to put something in your game, and you're going to add to that, and you're going to build on the foundation that you already have. They're going to give you video-based practice with advanced retention tools. You're going to have 24/7 access to your entire video library. And then they've got a library of just over 100 PGA Tour golfers. They're going to compare you and who your swing most resembles, and they're going to find some keys that you can hone in on to improve your game. And they'll also custom fit you for a set of clubs as well. It's the Golf Tech Training Camp. 998-4650 is the number there for Golf Tech. Okay, let's get to Tony. Greg Olson, new Jaguar offensive coordinator, talking yesterday on Jaguars.com. Audio coming courtesy of our friends in the building. And the Jags, Greg Olson, now offensive coordinator, back in after being quarterback's coach here a few years ago under Mike Mularkey, and he talked about his initial impression of Blake Bortles when he was coming out of the draft last year.
Well, I was real high, and we were, as an organization in Oakland, we're high on Blake Bortles, so I'm excited now, really. I thought it was a great get for the Jaguars when where he was picked last year. Certainly could have saw him being picked in that order there. It didn't surprise us by any means. So, you know, throughout the evaluation process, certainly he was high on our board as well.
Greg Olson has worked with a lot of young quarterbacks in his career, including Derek Carr last year in Oakland. He talked about the keys to working with a young QB.
For me, it's the development of trust. I think there's got to be a tremendous amount of trust between the quarterback and his offensive coordinator, and to know that everything I'm doing is designed to try and help him get better and as a quarterback, and designed with his development in mind. So more than anything, it'll be about sitting down with Blake and getting to know him a little bit better in a one-on-one.
And that is job one. By the way, Blake has finished with his Danish. New update on the Blake breakfast update right there. And not only is it about progressing Blake, but Greg Olson talked about the offense being built around that concept.
I just think most importantly is that we've got to make sure that what we're doing offensively is based upon the development and the strengths of Blake Bortles. And I think if you look at every year in and year out in the National Football League, the teams that are in the playoffs are getting there for the most part based on the player, the quarterback, and the development of their quarterback and the number of years that he's been in on that particular team. So we'll do whatever we can to develop Blake's strengths and play upon his strengths and the playmakers around him. So that'll be first and foremost in our mind.
Jaguars' new offensive coordinator Greg Olson speaking with Jaguars.com yesterday. Also talked about his experience here in Jacksonville on Mularkey's staff in 2012.
You never want to burn any bridges when you leave a place. And again, my experience here was a good experience. You know, obviously the 2012 season, we're proud of that by any means, the record and the way it ended. But I enjoyed the people, like I said, in the building and the organization. And that was obviously Shad Khan's first year in owning a franchise. So developed a relationship there with him. And I just like the direction that that this place is going right now. So it's good to be back.
Getting into some specifics, Tony.
You got it.
Word. That's how you pronounce that word. The running scheme. I know Gus Bradley's indicated they want to remain a zone blocking team, but Greg Olson, talked about that. Is that as set in stone as it sounds?
Whether you're a zone scheme or a gap scheme type team, I think that'll depend upon, again, as we're looking at the film this week, as Doug and I spent time right now just really looking at the run game, and we'll decide then based upon the guys up front and where we think will be more of a zone-based scheme or more of a gap scheme, and those are questions that will get answered here in the next couple weeks.
Obviously, Doug Marrone, who's now coaching the offensive line, was the head coach in Buffalo, where he had Nathaniel Hackett as his offensive coordinator. Now, as of yesterday, the Jags' quarterbacks coach. So some change and some turnover continuing as to be expected. Those guys have worked closely together. Didn't get what they wanted to, certainly, out of E.J. Manuel. And you had a guy go into his second year this season and got benched, I believe, back for four games. Wasn't coming along. So, you know, you hope that they've got better raw material to work with than number five for the Jaguars.
You would certainly hope so. That's where the hopes of this franchise in the future lie. Greg Olsen yesterday also talking about the process of building an offense.
Yeah, I think we're spending time now, really, and I've spent my first week here really just looking at the personnel that Jacksonville has right now, and it's changed quite a bit since
right.
I was here 3 years ago. So there's very few players on that team that are still here. So, again, as we talked about, trying to find what we feel will, best fits the strengths of Blake and really the playmakers around him. You had three young wide receivers this year that really came on. You got a new group of running back that weren't here when I was here before. So we'll spend a lot of time looking at the personnel that we have and as well as looking into the free agency as we got free agency period coming up. So we've got to find out where we think our needs are at. And then certainly you're going to add with the draft as well. But I'm fortunate or unfortunate. I've been in a lot of different systems. I've taught a lot of different systems. I've always tried to play upon the strengths of the players that we have. I was different when I was in St. Louis to Tampa, to Oakland. So it's just as dependent upon those players and how we can best fit those players and try and get the balls in the hands of our playmakers.
A couple more thoughts here from Greg Olsen, Jaguars' new offensive coordinator, talked about his relationship with Jaguar head coach Gus Bradley.
Gus and I developed a friendship in that time. I feel fortunate to have had a chance to work with him. I think tremendous football coach at that time, tremendous energy, and passion for teaching and coaching. And so that drew me to him and drew me to his personality. And so, I feel fortunate that I was able to maintain that relationship since that time. And certainly I've been real proud, and it's been great to watch his ascension in the coaching profession, and I'm just happy that Jacksonville had a chance to get him.
And finally, Greg Olsen was asked, what made him say yes to Jacksonville?
Well, I think it's just a great fit here, and because they have a great vision. I just felt like the plan that Gus laid out and the vision that he has for where he feels like this franchise is going, and the leadership of Shad Khan, Dave Caldwell, and Gus, just the three of them together, and getting a chance to meet those people here in the interview process, it just was just a real exciting to me opportunity. And I bought, it's real easy to buy into their enthusiasm and their appreciation, and to me their passion for how they want to see the direction of this organization going. So it was, to me, it was an easy decision based on the fit.
Hopefully we'll get to know Greg Olsen a little bit better next week, maybe even have him on live on Jaguars Today. I know he's going to have his first, wide media availability next week when everybody gets back from Arizona. That courtesy of Jaguars.com, who does, obviously, that website does a tremendous job and has been voted at times in the past best NFL website in the league.
They do a great job.
They really do on so many levels with the multimedia interactive stuff. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, got it all. Got it all covered. Blah, blah, and blah. They do all that stuff, all right? Greg Olsen, Jaguar offense coordinator, glad we could bring you some of his thoughts. Pete Prisco going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. Blake Bortles, you're going to hear from him. He is currently sitting in a chair, Tony. He's sitting in a chair. I just want to give people the minute-to-minute update on Blake's life and what he's doing right now. Lauren's going to take a picture of him sitting in a chair and then maybe tweet it out so all of you can see Blake and what he's wearing today. He's wearing a light yellow shirt, sleeves rolled up, and not tucked in. So he's looking pretty casual yet still professional at the same time. There you have it. Delaney Walker's going to join us today as well. We got stacks of stuff in the can. Tomorrow, 4-hour show, as Frank and Rick are going to hit the road in the morning. We're going to go from 10 until 2 tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
And bring you the best of the week, including mostly new stuff tomorrow. Allen Robinson, Demetrius McCray of the Jags, supposed to be in town at some point today. Either you'll hear them on Frank's show this afternoon, you'll hear them on Jaguars Today, or possibly both over the next couple of days as well. Coming up next is Dayton Football History, the Honda Drive around the NFL. We'll speak with Pete Prisco of CBS Sports here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, the first members to the NFL's Hall of Fame class were named in Canton, Ohio, 1963. The list included Sammy Baugh, Johnny Blood. Remember Johnny Blood? You have
no.
A Johnny Blood throwback, Tony?
No,
me either.
Not.
Who else? Dutch Clark, Red Grange, heard of him. Mel Hine, Pete Henry, Cal Hubbard, Don Hudson, the receiver, Bronco Nagurski, Ernie Nevers, Jim Thorpe, Burt Bell, Joe Carr, George Papa Bear, Hallis, Curly Lambeau, Tim Mara, and George Preston Marshall. All that happening in 1963 as the Hall of Fame opened their doors for the first time. And in this, on this date in 1995, the San Francisco 49ers became the first team in NFL history to win five Super Bowl titles as the Niners defeated the Chargers 49-26. That day, Steve Young had the greatest fantasy day of any player in Super Bowl history, if you're playing that Super Bowl fantasy. I know that's wildly popular. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Call them at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net. If you are in need of a fence for your home, for your business, you'll get a professional free estimate. 268-1638 for the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
All right, the Denver Broncos have hired Wade Phillips as their new defensive coordinator. Another note, the Philadelphia Eagles have named Ed Marinovich as VP of Player Personnel. Why is that important to note? Because Chris Polian from Jacksonville had interviewed for that position with the Eagles twice. Obviously, that means he's probably staying in Jacksonville as part of that front office. It's a little unclear right now to me, at least, what exactly Marinovich is going to be doing. I know Chip Kelly got handed a lot of the power. Maybe our next guest, Mike, will have a better idea of exactly how that's all going to work.
He's not a guest. He's family.
As we welcome
that's
in
right.
Pete Prisco.
Pete Prisco from, do I even need to introduce you, from CBSSports.com. CBS Sports, how are you?
He's from my hometown, Coral Springs, Ed Marinovich.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He played football at UCF, and, he's supposedly a pretty sharp guy. That front office is a mess. That's bad.
In Philly?
Yeah, that's bad.
What, because of the structure and who's got the power?
About how he had the power, and then bad situation for the past couple weeks for Howie and his college roommate, Jed Fish. You know, they were roommates together at Florida, and neither one of them played football, ever. And they went to Florida, they were in a fraternity there, and one of them said, okay, I'm going to be a head coach in the NFL, and I'm going to be a GM in the NFL. Well, one became the GM, and one got close to being a head coach.
Right, sure.
So, bad week for those guys.
Jed Fish landed in a pretty nice spot there.
I mean, that's a good situation.
University
for him.
Of Michigan,
yeah.
Working with Harbaugh.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it gets that thing turned around, and you got to believe Harbaugh will. Maybe gets another chance somewhere down the road.
Probably got more players with more experience at Michigan than he had in Jackson.
He might, right? I mean, it seems that way. What about, we mentioned Chris Polian. I don't think about him on a day-to-day basis. How much influence does he have on what goes on?
He's a good scout.
Yeah?
Yeah, he does good work. You know, it's almost unfair to Chris because he kind of gets labeled, well, you're daddy's son, so
sure.
That's why you got your job. But Chris does a good job. Chris works hard at it. I think down the road he'll be a general manager. A little bit different, you know, than his dad. His dad's, you know, feisty and has yelled at me many a time
over
the years.
Oh, boy. I've seen him in action at Colts games, and just the mouth will run.
I tell you what, first year I took the job at Sportsline, they moved me to Tampa, remember? And my wife had left and gone back to Jacksonville for Thanksgiving, and I'm sitting in the place by myself, and I get a phone call from the Colts. It's Craig Kelly, the PR guy. He goes, you got a second for Bill Polian? I said, yeah, sure. I put the phone in my ear, and I got F-bombed to death because of something I wrote about Edgerrin James's injury or something. But he was a hothead. But I'll tell you what, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Bill Polian should be in the Hall of Fame.
Both for his work with Buffalo and
with the
Colts,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You build two organizations like that, it certainly deserves at least the attention of the Hall of Fame. Let's talk a little Jags. Greg Olsen in as the offensive coordinator. I know I briefly texted back and forth with you last week, the day that all that was kind of going down. You said that you would have preferred Gase, it sounded like, for that position. Why?
I just think Gase, to me, you know, he's got a bad reputation. They're getting a bad reputation now, he is, around the league, about being just Peyton Manning's, you know, caddy. That's not true. Peyton Manning did not recommend Mike McCoy around the league when he got the head coaching job. But he pushed Adam Gase. And I've talked to Peyton about Adam Gase. He loves the guy. Adam Gase is a little, he's 36, so a lot of people use that against him. And he's also maniacal and you know, very hyper and confident. And I think that came across in the interviews, and I think that turned off a lot of people. But the reality is, once he gets in there and starts coaching football, he's a darn good football coach. That isn't to say Greg Olsen isn't, because I think Greg Olsen's a good football coach, too. Remember, Greg out the door was the one who took the shot at unnamed source Blaine Gabbert. That was Greg Olsen. Remember when Mike Silver wrote the story?
Sure.
About, that was that.
The Blaine Gabbert?
Yeah. Because, you know what, he was around town saying that exact same stuff when he was there, Greg Olsen. But I think Greg Olsen's a good hire. I think getting Hackett's a good hire. I think they're good in Marone, a line coach, although Marone's line – wasn't very good last year in Buffalo, but he has a reputation for being a good line coach.
And their quarterback got benched after four games as well. You know, a young quarterback who, in some way, you know, stature, some mobility, you know, some similarities to Blake Bortles, and E.J. Manuel didn't pan out. So you hope they've got better raw material to work with.
Yeah, I thought that was more of a panic move by Marone, who realized that maybe he had to win some games to stay around, and then as it turned out, he decided to leave anyways.
Yeah, because in the end, Pete, week 17, for the best thing for the organization, you got to be playing E.J. Manuel. You're
I
out
agree.
Of it. And he's trying to go 9-7. I want to have a winning record, and that's great. I get that. But, man, I mean, you owe that, I think, to the organization. They should have forced that on him almost to play this guy. We got an opportunity. We're out of it. I understand playing Kyle Orton up until that point.
Yeah, I would have played him too. And, you know, here's the other thing about Marone. And people, oh, Marone should get the Jets job. He should get, because he's got Jimmy Sexton as his agent. And if you have Jimmy Sexton as your agent, you get propped up all around the league. Well, the reality is he had a chance to go to the postseason. He got beat at Oakland in week 16. I mean, that's a choke job
right.
in any way, shape, or form. So, yeah, Marone will be good as a line coach. I worry, is he the coach in waiting? You know what I mean? Like, in the back of his mind, does he think if this thing starts turning bad and it doesn't go the way Gus needs it to go, well, am I the guy that's going to take over?
Does that show confidence on Gus's part, though, that he's not afraid to bring in a guy who was a head coach and put him right there in the building, you know, in that
or desperation.
Well,
or desperation, which, you know, that's
how,
fine.
What is that level? I mean, what is the bare minimum that this team needs to do this year to not have things all of a sudden be on the brink of getting blown up?
And it wouldn't be Dave Caldwell that gets blown up, because the general manager usually gets a second coach. It would be Gus. And I'm not saying Gus should go. I like Gus. I just think if he doesn't get to 6-8 and competing for something in December and games being close, then I think he's in trouble. If he starts the way he did last year, that's a problem. That'll be a big problem. But I don't think they will. But if it does, I think he could be in trouble. Don't you agree? I mean, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. He's got to be.
Yeah.
Right. He won seven games in 2 years.
Right.
And, you know, you talk about the slow build and all this stuff. And now, like, you know, I talked to John Clayton the other day. He goes, Jag fans shouldn't expect it this year. Next year's the year. And how many years is reasonable to say this is our rebuilding plan? I mean, I understand where they started, but teams around the league don't typically take this path. I mean, it's bold if it works, because then you're hoping it's sustainable.
You talk to people around the league and you say, whoa, the talent level on that roster. I mean, it was bad, and it's young, and it isn't good right now. But it has a chance to be really good. And I think they're going to spend a boatload of money on the offensive side of the football this year. You know, whether you get Cobb or Torrey Smith, and then a couple offensive linemen, nasty guys. You know,
Bulaga.
Yeah, Bulaga.
Bulaga
or but veteran, you know, veterans who could come in. One, he'll get two, I think. He'll get one who can start and one who can push. And guys who know how to handle the room, young guys, because they don't have that. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, the older guys, they don't have that in that room. So I think he's going to get two there, a receiver, and if he can find a move tight end. And I thought Julius Thomas might be in play for a while. Julius Thomas might have played himself out of a lot of money at the end of the year. I mean, the book on Julius Thomas, he kind of packed it in there for a while.
Did he pack it in, or I mean, he was supposedly hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt, but you know. There's a difference between injured and hurt. You know that.
How do you pack it in? Yeah, in that circumstance. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know if he packed it in, but let's put it this way. There's the soft label has come out.
Okay.
And you never want that.
Was
so.
It protecting free agency? I mean, he knew
that
it was going to be
I'll tell you, a guy who did that, Jermaine Gresham, who shouldn't have done it, did it in Cincinnati and was called out for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask you what your plan for the offseason was going to be, but you just kind of laid it out at least.
Well, and defensively, agency. They're going to draft. They're going to draft. Defense, and more defense.
What about a running back?
Yeah, you find one guy like in a fifth or fourth or fifth round. And I know Jacksonville's all up, go get Gurley. This team franchise cannot afford to do that.
They can't say even a top of the second round, Melvin Gordon, you pick everybody, still not at that point.
I think they got to draft that, young defense fast.
It does seem that running back's like the position that completes it, because they can come in and play right away. If you got everything else in place, right? I mean, that's when you want to grab
if
that
he's,
guy.
You know, if he's truly, truly special, okay, I still think the way they're being built, they need to get faster. The one thing you notice when you watch them is how slow they are. And you know, and they're going to be slower again next year, because Posluszny's probably going to come back and then play in the middle, because they're not going to get rid of him. They love the guy. Me, I tell them, you got to slash that salary or I'm not bringing you back. I don't know. I think they're going to bring him back as is, and I wouldn't do that.
Jokel, 2 years in, I get it. He hasn't played as much as you'd like, and he didn't play all on the left side his rookie season. But where do you see him going right now?
he's a little light in the ass. He needs to get heavier. He needs to get stronger. He needs to work with Tony. I mean, he's spending as much time as he can with Tony Baselli. That should be his priority in the offseason. And Tony already said he would work with him if asked to do so. So spend time with Tony. Learn the tricks of the trade. Learn how to use your hands. Learn how to use your get your base set. Against some good players, he actually plays pretty well. Like when he was matched up with Watt, he was okay with him. Then he got other guys like Brooks Reed blowing by him.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, so to me, that's inconsistency. That's understanding how to play the position. I think he'll be fine. You got to remember, that's his first year really starting. The right tackle, they got to get better there. The right guard's going to be a Pro Bowl player. There's no doubt in my mind. He needs to get heavier, too. Bowanko needs to get heavier. I think he's going to be a solid center. You know, in the NFL, you don't need a great center. You just need a solid, good, smart center. And the left guard, I said right from the word get-go, I didn't like that signing, and I still don't.
I know you've been pushing Devin McCourty as a free agent possibility for the Jags. Who knows if he gets out of New England or not. But just looking at that safety position, Jonathan Cyprian, the second-round pick a couple years ago, hasn't really played up to his potential yet. What do you see out of him?
Until they get the good free safety, I don't think you'll see the best of Cyprian. Because this, to me, when I look at their secondary, I see McCray, that was a hit. You know, for all the criticism they take about the draft, that kid was a big, that could end up being, this sounds crazy, he's not Sherman, but that could be their big Sherman hit there. You know, late round guy, Sherman.
A no doubt starter in the seventh round.
Colving is going to be a really good player. That's your starting corners right there. Grotz will move inside. That will be your three corners. So you look at him, you go, you know what? Pretty darn good in that secondary. Long, linear, can run. They're good cover guys. You'll be fine there. Cyprian will be the Cam Chancellor of that defense. Right now, he can't be because they don't have a guy who can go sideline to sideline. If they had McCourty and plays single high safety and they can bring Cyprian into the box, then all of a sudden you have almost like a Seattle secondary.
Yeah, but Pat's going to let him get away?
No, I think they'll tag him.
Right.
It'll be a cheap tag and relatively cheap.
Yeah, safety's a huge number.
I mean, if you could get a guy, that's what you have to find. You know, I said this a couple years ago. I said, the bigger corner's going inside the free safety's going to bulk up and become the strong safety. The strong safety's going to get bigger and play outside linebacker. The outside linebacker's going to go inside and play inside linebacker. And then you see the other guys, the speed guys go down, the bigger guys go inside, and all of a sudden you got an air game all over the place. That's
right.
What it's become.
Well, that's what you want, I know. You want them to throw on every single down.
No, throw to score, pound it to win.
Well, there you go. All right, who's going to pound it to win on Sunday?
You don't give Belichick 2 weeks. And I know the Giants, he lost the last two, but the Giants were a conventional offense, and you didn't have to come up with something to scheme against them. This isn't conventional. This is, I'm going to keep that guy in the pocket, and if he beat, Bill Belichick is great at taking away something. He'll take away that read option and that run and stuff, and he'll keep him in the pocket, and if he keeps him in the pocket, they are definitely beatable, and I think the Patriots will win.
Patriots over the Seahawks, so says Pete Prisco, CBS Sports. Good to see you, man.
Absolutely.
I know you're busy all week. I appreciate a few minutes. Come on, it's great. You love it.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I've been here since last Wednesday.
That's right. You were here for all the Pro Bowl stuff. You didn't even go to the game. You just covered the lead up to it. We came and we went to the game, and we were wondering kind of why.
I did the one in Miami, and I told my boss, I said, I'll go out, talk to guys all week, go to all the practices, but I'm not going to the game.
There's not much you're going to get out of it at that point in the week. All right, Pete, thanks for stopping by, buddy. Good to see you.
Mike.
Pete Prisco here with us on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Coming up, scheduled to sit down with Delanie Walker, tight end for the Tennessee Titans. Also, you're going to hear from Blake Bortles before the show is done today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live, along with Lauren Brooks on Radio Row, Phoenix, Arizona, Phoenix Convention Center, as we're getting you ready for Super Bowl 49 on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today, live from Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona, is brought to you by St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, proud supporter of Wolfson Children's Hospital, on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
A big thanks, as always, to St. John the Divine making our trip possible. Again, like their Facebook page at St. John the Divine Jacks. Every new like raises more money for Wilson's Children's Hospital throughout the course of the week. They're the folks that make our trips possible every year to Radio Row. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith. The show is Jaguars Today.
Yes, it is.
We've got an enemy in our midst right here. Delanie Walker, he seems like a nice enough guy, Tony, talking to him here for the last couple of minutes. But I told you I got to go hard at you.
Let's
Let's
go.
So I got to go back to last year, all right? You knew it was coming. You were, I forget exactly what you said, but something to the effect of how embarrassing it was to lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'm here to point out, we may not have the best franchise right now, but you are picking ahead of us in the upcoming draft. So, how do you answer for yourself, Delaney?
I'm saying at that point, okay, I'm coming from the San Francisco 49ers.
You've been in the Super Bowl.
I've been in the Super Bowl. I've been in multiple NFC Championship games to Tennessee Titans. And, okay, I feel like Tennessee Titans, we're a good team. Jaguars are not having a great season. Haven't won a game yet. Played us. Beat us.
In your place.
In our place. I'm losing it. I'm in the locker room, and I kind of see, like, people not really under caring, like, okay, we just lost to the Jags, so I lost it. And so when the media came, I'm still in my uniform, and I'm like, they're like, how do you feel? I'm like, how do I feel? Are you serious? They like, you're still in the race. I'm like, we still in the race. We just lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars. What race are we in? So lost it. Damn, I'm leaving it alone after that. I ain't going to say too much at it because I'm going to get a lot of tweets from these Jaguar fans. I already know.
What's
it.
Your Twitter handle, by the way?
Have you had run-ins with Jaguars Twitter? They're a proud group.
Oh, what? They tweet me this all the time. Are you mad, bro?
Yes. Yes.
Are you mad, bro? like, are you sick? And then when y'all beat us in the Thursday night game, it just came back.
Oh, yeah.
Are you mad, bro? Good game, bro. They telling me good game. Like, are you mad?
Yeah. You had some good years there in San Francisco, but man, you have blown up since you got out there to Tennessee. Just what was right for you about the fit with Tennessee? Maybe, I know Vernon Davis was ahead of you for a lot of those years over in San Francisco. Was it just about getting the opportunity to be that one?
That's what it was all about. You know, like you said, I was under Vernon Davis. I could have played a great game. I could have scored four touchdowns. Vernon would have probably, if he was hurt and if Vernon would have came back, he would have been a starter. I knew that. You know, I knew what my role was. So I looked to go to a different place where I can have that opportunity to be a starting tight end because I felt like I was a starting tight end. I felt like if I had the opportunity to make plays, I would make them and I'll be an elite tight end. And that's why I chose to lead the 49ers.
At Delaney Walker 82.
That's
folks
me.
Out there. Just scream, say hello, and let him know how much you appreciate him coming on Jaguars today here with us. Is Zach Mettenberger a guy your franchise can build around?
I think so. I think he's going to be a great quarterback. But it always goes to, do the quarterback block for itself? Do the quarterback catches the ball for itself? No. These things, we got to help our quarterback. I think everyone that's here other than a quarterback is paid to make the quarterback look good on the offensive side. So we had a protection issue last year. I think if we fix that, I think he can be that quarterback. He's the type of quarterback that's going to step in the pocket. He's going to make the reads. He's going to make the throw. I see him as like a Tom Brady type of guy. He's not going to run. You know, he knows his speed is not that good. So he's going to sit there and try to make the right reads.
Functional mobility. He's not a runner.
No.
Right? But you gotta have that ability to slide step in the pocket. Does he have that sixth sense about him?
He does that, and you can see him do it, and he takes hits because he will slide in the pocket and see the hit still coming and try to make the throw. And, I think that's what we need. We need someone that's fearless back there that's gonna take the chances to get the ball to a receiver even though he's gonna take a big hit. But again, it goes to, we gotta protect him. If you look at these teams that's in the NFL, in the Super Bowl, Their quarterbacks are protected. They can make the right reads. They got time to throw the ball. And when they need to step and slide to the side, they do that. But at the end of the day, you got to protect the quarterback.
Your first season with Ken Whisenhunt as well as your head coach. What's different with him than the previous regime?
What's different with him? I really can't say what's different with him. I think Ken is a coach that's been there before. You know, he's been to the Super Bowl. He's been on Super Bowl teams. He understands the game. He played it for a while. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a coach that can turn his organization around. I can't really say what makes him different from Munchak. You know, I only got to be with Munchak for a year, and now I'm with Ken for a year. So I think this year coming out, I think I'll be able to tell the difference then, you know, as I play with him for a few more years.
Talk about Jim Harbaugh for a second, okay? The word, I don't know him. I've never met the guy, but the word around the league, you know, for the front office, there's friction. He was difficult to get along with. It's his personality. It's right in your face. I don't know what is, as a player playing for him, what is he like?
Well, Jim Harbaugh is two people. You got two types of Jim Harbaugh. You got the Jim Harbaugh on game day.
that's, you know, he's going to run around, yell, you know, talk to the refs crazy. And then you got the Jim Harbaugh. When we're in the locker room, he's like a player. Like, he kind of relates with you because he understands he's done it for a long time. He'll sit in there. He put a basketball court up in the locker room for you. He can play basketball with us. So, I don't know what had happened after I left. I thought he was a great coach. I thought other people on the team thought he was a great coach. The personnel from the people upstairs, I don't know how they felt with Jim Harbaugh. That's something that we don't see. So I don't know what was going on with that situation. But I thought Jim Harbaugh was a good guy and also a great coach.
Got results.
Come in 1 year, we turn around, we go to the NFC Championship game. The next year we go to the Super Bowl. You tell me.
Well, in that Super Bowl, as close as it went down to the wire, it wasn't close for a while, and then it was an amazing finish to that game. Does it hang with you? I mean, do you think about the, like, how close you were? You still say, you know what, I'm young enough. I got that chance. Still going to get back, and I've got that opportunity.
You think about it all the time because it was that Super Bowl was kind of funny. You got the lights turned off.
I was about to say, have you investigated that, Delaney?
I was thinking the Jaguars did that.
You know what? We'll take credit for it. I'd be happy to do that.
No, but the lights had went out. The game came down to us being on the 5-yard line. Penalties, I feel like we threw the ball 4 times, didn't get one flag. So, you know, you think about it, but what happened is they won the game. You know, deep down inside, they beat us. I know that. And you think about it all the time, but I feel like I can get back. You know, I, like you said, I'm pretty young.
I
feel like I still got opportunity to get back to the Super Bowl.
You know, it seems like you're the type of guy who plays a lot on emotion. Do you feel like you're that type of player? And how much do teams need kind of that balance between the guys that are level-headed and the guys that are just on fire when they step on that field?
I think you got to kind of be balanced out because sometimes I need guys to be like, D, calm down, man. You going to get us a flag. Or, you know, so you need both, you know, because I go out there and I play like if we were going to war and I'm going against you. I'm the United States, and you whatever country, and I got to destroy you before you destroy me. And that's how I play. Because, I mean, this game, I don't think you can go out there and be friendly and play patty cake because somebody's going to punch you in the mouth. So that's how I play. I'll punch you in the mouth before you punch me in the mouth. But then you got to have that guy that cool and collective like, yo, you doing good. Calm down a little bit, you know. So it go hand in hand just to have be balanced out.
Nobody in our listening audience, very few, are going to wish you any kind of success, but you're the message that you're here for is something that every fan of every team in the National Football League can get on board with. You're here on behalf of Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Tell us about how you got connected with them and what the message you're trying to get out today is.
Well, if people don't know, 2 years ago, I played in Super Bowl with San Francisco 49ers, like we said, in New Orleans. My aunt and uncle were there to watch the game, and hours after, they were killed by a drunk driver going back to Baton Rouge. And, you know, my auntie, she left 3 kids behind, and Brian left 4, so all together that's 7. And I wanted to do something to represent them, you know, something positive. And me and my publicist, we looked for an organization that we thought was a great organization that spoke loudly about drinking and driving. And Mothers Against Drunk Driving was that organization, and they helped my family cope with this tragic loss we had. And they do a lot of good things in the community in every city that you can possibly think of. And, you know, I'm just excited that they let me be aboard and tell my story. And hopefully I can reach the younger generation from the ages 21 to 35 because I think that's where the highest of drinking and driving rate starts. And if we can reach them and stop this from happening, it's a senseless act that people choose to do on their own.
It's good stuff. We get behind that, no doubt about it. At Delaney Walker 82.
How are the kids, by the way?
Favorite bro.
How are those 7 kids doing?
They're doing good. You know, they actually, you know, it was hard at first for the first year, but, you know, they started realizing they, you know, I'd speak to them whenever they need to talk to me, they can call me and I'll try to, you know, speak to them, give them some information on what they're trying to do, be a part of Matt or go out and even speak about being a victim of drinking and driving. So, you know, they're doing good, though, so
good.
Far.
Good to hear it, man. Hey, nice to talk to you. We appreciate it. All kidding aside, we're not going to root for you in any shape or form.
It's already coming. It's in my Twitter inbox, so I know it's in yours.
Although, well, I'm just saying, you can root for me until we play.
You know what? I'll root for you on my fantasy team. How about that? Absolutely. Delaney, good to see you, man. Thank you for stopping by. Delaney Walker. And do reach out to your new favorite Tennessee Titan, at Delaney Walker 82. We know you'll hear from some of your favorite Jaguar fans. There he goes. On behalf of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which obviously is a great organization and certainly has a personal connection with Delaney's story. We appreciate him stopping by here on 1010XL. Also appreciate Kevin Green, my certified public accountant. Tax season almost upon us here. And I trust my CPA. Kevin Green handles all my returns. I'm not a numbers guy when it comes to that kind of thing. Here's my receipts. Here's this. Here's my expenses. What can you save me? And he's saved me so much money over the years, more than I've given him in fees, certainly. And that's the idea when you go to a CPA. Kevin Green can handle it, whether it's personal, business income tax returns, really anything that has to do with it. I'm a W-2 guy who went to being a subcontractor, 1099 guy now. If you're in that boat, trust me, it can be scary the first time around to make sure you're complying with everything. Call 332-6500 for Kevin Green, certified public accountant, located conveniently across from Tinseltown at 4540 Southside Boulevard, Suite 303. 332-6500 for the man I trust with my taxes, Kevin Green, certified public accountant, helping us make the trip out here to Phoenix, Arizona. Coming up next, your quarterback. Blake Bortles.
Yeah, baby.
We'll wash the stench of the Titans off the broadcast, and we'll welcome in Blake Bortles, Jaguar quarterback, next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today, live from Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona, is brought to you by St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, proud supporter of Wolfson Children's Hospital, on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, a couple of quick notes here, Tony, before we hear from Blake Bortles in a moment. Albert Breer tweeting out that, as we know, the Aaron Hernandez trial gets underway today up in New England. Among those on the witness list who will be called to testify, potentially, Patriots coach Bill Belichick. Oh, I can't wait. Patriots owner Robert Kraft. Bills linebacker Brandon Spikes, who's a former New England Patriot as well, former teammate of Aaron Hernandez at the University of Florida, and Dolphin center Mike Pouncey. Same circumstance in terms of being a teammate. Now, he's also, Pouncey had the free Hernandez hat. He's had his own image issues over the last couple of years as well. Certainly not to the level of Aaron Hernandez, but that trial does get underway today. Want to remind you about the Super Bowl swag bag. Don't know how many times we're going to get to remind you about this. Last time today, the only time today, you can tweet me at MD_1010XL. You can post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. There's a thread dedicated to this. And you can also email me, MikeD@1010XL.com. Need two predictions. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? And a prediction on something that will happen in the game. Okay? It could be something like, I think Tom Brady will throw for over 350 yards. That's an example. It could be whatever you want. Got to get both predictions right, and then the person who made the prediction that came true that we deemed to be the least likely to have come true will win the swag bag, which is filled up with some nice stuff, really, over the last few days. Got some cell phone cases yesterday, some earbuds, some different stuff. Got a lot of swag from the media party the other night. We're not done collecting. Anything we get for free, we share it with one of you out there in radio land. So make your predictions. Let's say hi to LB real quick. Lauren, you've only been here for a couple of hours. You haven't seen the full frenzy of what's going to come because it really picks up in the afternoon. What is your initial impression of Radio Row for you?
So far, my initial impression is that everyone is extremely friendly. And
why can't we hear Lauren Brooks?
I do not know.
I hear myself.
You do hear yourself? I don't hear you. You're on the wrong. You're on this mic. That's why.
Oh, you're switching headsets on me, Lauren.
The other headset, I couldn't hear
Welcome
anything.
Back.
So, yes, absolutely. Welcome myself back. Thank you. Radio Row, everyone's super friendly. Everyone around Phoenix so far has been friendly. I got to meet Barry Sanders and say hello to him. Obviously, we just had Delaney Walker on. I asked him what position he would play if it wasn't tight end, and he said kicker.
He did say
because
kicker.
They get to really relax. They don't really have to lift weights. And if you look at Delaney Walker, you think, are you sure you don't like lifting weights?
All right, let's be straight. If he doesn't like it, he hides it very well.
So can this prediction be a halftime prediction, or is it strictly game?
It can be, but it's got to be something I can verify. And, I mean, if you're talking about something along the lines with Katy Perry's cleavage, I mean, that's what we're referring
that's
to.
That's the direction I was going in.
Okay, then sure, I'll be paying attention at that time. And apparently there is a prop bet about that. I'm not sure how they measure it, but
I'm not sure either.
I'm not sure what it is. is. I didn't look it up.
If ever there was a year for a wardrobe malfunction, there
there was a link in my email, and it said prop bet on her cleavage, and I was like, I don't want to click this.
I absolutely would have clicked it.
I don't want to click this.
That's part of my job.
Nope.
Yeah, Warren needs to know that story. All right.
Right.
The story of the day for us, Blake Bortles, got a chance to sit down with him yesterday. Here he is, your Jacksonville Jaguar quarterback. Jacksonville Jaguar quarterback Blake Bortles joining us now on 1010XL on behalf of Microsoft Surface, the tablet players and coaches use to make faster decisions and in-game adjustments. Tony, just tell him, Blake, had to come all the way to Phoenix and talk to the guy we see every day in the building. How you doing, man?
Good. Glad to be here. Good to see you guys out here. And we could have just stayed in Jacksonville.
We could have. You know what? Next year, let's have everybody come to us.
Yeah, right.
Rather than the other way around.
Exactly. Well, next year, let's do media day. How about that?
Yeah, right. That's the goal. You don't want to be here. You want to be there on
That's
Tuesday
right.
in that mess, and then you can pull Marshawn Lynch if you want to at that point. You don't strike me as the kind of guy that would have a problem answering questions for an hour. How many hours have you answered questions today so far, though?
So far, it's what time is it?
What is it? It's noon local.
Noon here. So. It's noon here. I've been up since 6. We woke up, left at 6:30, got there 7:30. Eight. So 4 hours. 4 hours I've been talking to you guys.
Skip Bayless give you a hard time on first take?
No, they were fun. Stephen gave me a couple jabs, Stephen A. Smith. But
what'd he get on you for?
He was just grilling me. They made me pick, and I picked the Patriots just because, I don't know, Vegas picked them. So I was like, I don't care who wins this game. I'll pick the Patriots.
I picked the Jags.
Yeah, that's all that matters. So I don't care who I pick. But, he kept grilling me about that. Didn't understand why I picked the Patriots. So I just said, Tom Brady. And He didn't like that. So, obviously, he thinks the Seahawks are going to win.
I guess so.
So, I could care less. Look forward to watching a good game, though.
Second year in a row you've been down here on Radio Row. I'm sure you remember the riveting conversation I had with you last year. Just word for word. But I remember last year meeting you for the first time and being very impressed. Watching you through this year, how do you feel you've grown as a player on the field?
A ton. You know, I've told a bunch of guys today that, I think something that's huge is you talk about the pros and cons of playing or sitting your rookie year. And I think it's definitely nowhere near a contest. You learn so much more when it's live action and live reps. You can't duplicate that in practice or in the film room or anything. So I think the amount I learned this year was awesome. Being able to watch film and go through everything with a guy like Chad Henne, who's been through a lot, you know, was a huge help. And look forward to learning a ton more this offseason and for years to come, hopefully.
How concerning is it for you, new offense coming in, new offensive coordinator? I mean, look, the reality is you got to win or heads are going to roll eventually. Jed Fish was the guy who went after a couple of years. Greg Olsen, what do you know about him and what are you expecting out of the new offense?
Yeah, you know, I know going through the whole combine process, I met with him and talked with him a lot, you know, him being in Oakland. And I was a big fan of his then and am definitely a big fan of his now. You know, talked to Derek Carr. Actually came out here with a guy I played with at UCF, Latavius Murray, who's a running back in Oakland. And speaks very highly of Greg Olsen. And, Carr did the same. So I'm excited. It's a great opportunity to kind of, you know, you learned an offense for a year, but now you get to learn another one. You know, go broaden your football knowledge and learn as much as possible and hit the ground rolling. So definitely excited for it.
Did Gus talk to you at all about the decision before Greg Olsen was hired? The couple different guys that have come in for interviews, had he talked to you about those guys?
Yeah, you know, it was awesome. Gus was unbelievable. Kept me connected and involved and in the loop and let me talk to guys and do different things. And, you know, I think the big thing was, you know, he just wanted to find the right guy, find a great fit for us as a team, as a staff, somebody that wants to go out and help us as a team and an offense become the best we can be and go get better each and every day. And I think Greg Olsen's a perfect guy and excited to work with him.
Blake Bortles here with us on 1010XL. Blake is so young on offense, you guys. I mean, across the board. Was it fun in some regard to all be in it together like that? Was it frustrating at times because the learning curve is steep when you get to
right.
the NFL?
No, it was pretty cool. It was definitely cool. I talked to guys that were in locker rooms that there was, you know, there's no rookies playing on either side of the ball. There's one or two rookies playing. I mean, I think at one point we had six or seven guys start on offense that were playing college football, you know, 8 months prior. So it was was pretty cool. It was cool to go through the whole thing and learn with the group of guys and grow together and create great relationships. And I think that's why it's a big part to get together, important to get together in the off season and continue to grow on those relationships and make sure everybody's on the same page and doing all that. I think it could be a lot of fun, in the years to come.
You mentioned the word off season there, and really rookies in the NFL, they don't get one in that transition from that senior year or going into the draft and getting into the NFL. What has just the last month for you been like? Have you taken some time to step away from it and just cool down a little bit?
Yeah, I have. The year or the supposed downtime between, your last college football season and your first NFL season is non-existent. And it's a great process. It's a load of fun. But it wears you down. And then you got to go play, four preseason games and 16 regular season games. So it's definitely hard to do. Having some downtime, these past couple weeks, allow your body to heal and, try and get as healthy as possible and getting ready to, head out to California, after this, and start training and getting back ready.
Camp Blake, right? You're gonna get the receivers together. You're gonna throw. Is that the idea?
I don't know if that'll be the name.
That's what we'll call it.
Call it. Call it whatever you want. Jags in the West. I don't know. We'll have to think of a better name.
Yeah, we'll work on the name. Yeah. That may not be your strong suit right now.
No.
But the idea is to get as many of you guys together. Just
right.
Continue to build that chemistry, right?
Yeah.
That timing.
Yeah, definitely. Get guys out there. Make sure everybody's on the same page. Obviously, having a new playbook and a new offense, there's going to be some different lingo. But for the most part, there's a lot of similarities as far as schemes and what, for the most part, everybody does the same thing. Obviously every offensive coordinator has their little things that they do. But for the most part, there's a lot of similar schemes. So we'll go out there and work those and have a blast doing it.
Do you have an idea on the time frame of when you will get a new playbook, start learning that new offense?
I don't know. And I'm not going to say anything because I don't know if the rules by the NFL,
right.
If it's legal or not. But I will get a playbook and plays and as much information as possible as soon as possible is my goal. So, I've been in contact with Greg and, we've talked and definitely looking forward to it.
Is this one of those voluntary, mandatory mini camps over there in California? Is it like you're saying everybody can come if they want to come, but really it's everybody get out here and let's do this?
Yeah, definitely. It was kind of like in college, George O'Leary would give us optional weights on Sunday, and nobody's missed an optional workout in 11 years, I think, since he's been there. So I don't know. I wouldn't say it's like that, but I think everybody, all pass catchers, anybody. Scobie hit me up on Twitter. He wants to come, so I don't know what he would do. He could go out there and play golf. That's all he does.
Oh, you know
he's really
he will, right?
So he can play golf.
He got all kinds of great courses.
He can come kick for 30
California.
Minutes and go play golf. So, but no, he's awesome. So yeah, we'll all get out there and get as many guys as possible to get together.
Tell us something that just was cool about being an NFL quarterback away from the field. Just what was? Give us an example of an experience you're like, wow, this is pretty great.
I think the first time it kind of hit me. I had the opportunity to have lunch with Russell Wilson, when I was going through the whole combine process. And something he said was kind of cool was like, you're one of 32 people in the world. And that was kind of like, wow, this is special. But something that kind of hit me was, it was after a game and my parents, they came back to my house, we were eating and talking and stuff. And my mom said, do you have to go to work tomorrow? And I kind of looked at her and I was like, work? I don't work. This is, and she's like, oh, and I was kind of like, well, this is actually my job. This is what I get paid to do. It's what I love probably more than anything in the world and what I've always wanted to do, and they're paying me to do it. And it was kind of like, this is pretty cool.
It's great. Look, if you enjoy it, you like being in the building. We see you in the building all the time. It's the off season now. And, if you have that drive, it makes it that much easier.
Yeah, if it's what you love to do and what you're passionate about, because you're around it 24/7, especially during the season. You're around it 24/7. You're in the locker room. You're watching film. You're doing all that stuff. You're in meetings, and then in the off season, you got to go work on your game and find out ways to improve it. So it's definitely the perfect job if you love to do it.
You got your Microsoft Surface tablet there with you?
I do. I got my Surface tablet. It's actually not one that I used on the sidelines. But, I mean, this thing's unbelievable. You know, we use it all year long. You know, you can be so efficient, so productive with it. It's so much faster than using an old notebook. And, you know, I really use it on and off the field. And it's taken the place of my computer. So it's been awesome for me, and I love it.
The first time we're ever going to see this technology on the sidelines in the Super Bowl this week as well. So, what is it about? I mean, is it just what do you use it for, like, in-game? You get plays? You get just looks at what the defense looks like? You know, they used to have those actual hard copy photos. Is that the kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's the same pictures. But, you know, I think something that's pretty cool is, you know, you grab it and, you know, you get those guys that – when the old notebooks, the guys are back there and they're printing out things and they're putting it in binders, and these guys can mess up. And I mean, you get this and it's downloaded, and all the snapshots are there for you ready when you get to the sideline. And you can grab it, you can zoom in, you can draw all over it, you can point things out, you can do whatever you want. So, yeah, it definitely allows you to utilize all its great tools.
We know you want to win games, right? Obviously, you want to win games next year. Jag fans are hungry, man. I mean, do you feel like this team is capable, as young as you were this year, taking a major leap forward next year?
Yeah, I think so.